We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Explain what bomba and plena is, and what's the difference between the two?
They both stand, bomba and plena stand at the core of Afro-Puerto Rican music, or the music that, you know, ties us or embraces us with the African culture as an influence of people of African descent, or people who enslaved it during the colonial periods in the Americas. And that was obviously, I would say, 500 years ago, at least. Both expressions, they are often grouped together, but each has its own trajectory and musical identity. Bomba is said to be one of the oldest musical expressions of the Americas, dating back 500 years, with direct connection to the African ancestry of people who were enslaved and were brought by force across the oceans to the Americas. Plena, on the other hand, is a product of the early 20th century, growing amid a developing sense of Puerto Rican national identity. When Puerto Ricans, not only Puerto Ricans, but I would say all the nations in the Americas, even the Caribbean island nations, during the 19th century, there was already a sense of identity, of feeling that you're Puerto Rican, that you were Cuban, or you were Dominican or Jamaican, or from the United States. You know, that sense of nationality. That was a key thing for plena to develop. Both forms has been used to voice freedom, individuality, cultural affirmation, and even labor reform. As such, bomba and plena are considered to be the main vehicles for the expressions of resistance, resilience, and pride. And it's, of course, a form, I would say, a way, a sense of celebration, and sense of cultural identity. That's very important. Bomba is a traditional musical style that the communities and generations of people of African descent created. I would say generations within the communities of people of African descent that they voiced, embraced, and celebrated. That was the main vehicle of expression and celebration, where they voiced, well, all their feelings or what was happening in the communities, in the families, and even beyond, you know, the communities. They voiced that in a celebration with music, and particularly drumming and dance. You will see drummers with these barrel-shaped drums and other instruments that reinforce the rhythms and the music, and they basically accompany the singer. The singer will call a song, and they immediately know what style the singer will be is singing or is, will be singing. And when that happens, you know, as the bone and the music elaborates, then the dance comes. And that's the key part of bomba, because the dance is driven by the dancer, not really the drummers, because the dancer will exchange with a drummer her or his movements, and he will call the movements around, you know, when she or he moves, what we call piquetes, all those gestures that the dancer will do, the drummer, the main drummer, has to answer precisely. When I talk about la plena, it's basically a product, as I said, of the late 19th century, early 20th century. It was basically originated, I would say, by the urban workers of Puerto Rico's coastal areas. mainly Ponce and Mayagüez, and then of course it came to the capital city of San Juan. And that happened shortly after Spain lost political control of the island. And thus during the early period of US colonial rule, like Bomba Plena, Plena is sung in a call and response style. Call and response means, you know, when you basically, let's put it like in the context of salsa, you have a sonero or sonera, it will sing a verse and then the coro will respond. Okay? So that's basically, that's the foundation of, and it's a key characteristic of West African music, what we call call and response.
I was
And
actually
basically,
gonna
what
I was actually going to ask if you can give me, because I know in Plena, it's like a lyrical narration of daily life and commentary on like current events. Would you
of
be able
course.
to give me an example of what those lyrics would be?
Sure. Let's say there was a happening in Puerto Rico. Let's say, fuego, fuego, fuego en el barrio, se quema la casa, fuego en el barrio. O sea, that they are singing about something that happened in the community or in the barrio. And then they are talking about a fire that happened. And then they elaborate on that. Basically, and the verses will tell the story of what happened, you know. And while the coro reinforces that dynamic of call and response. How that is reinforced not only with the singing but also with the drums. The group was formed in 1983. From that year, then we started evolving into what it was then, an organization. We started creating programs, but the group is just being formed by itself. I mean, what happens was, you know, when I moved from Puerto Rico to New York, I came to study music. I was a musician already, but I wanted to pursue further studies, superior studies in music, you know. And when I got to New York, I found like basically like any other migrant, that you have to here do it for yourself, and then you find that you really have to, you know, get stand on your own feet. And when I say stand on my own feet, means stand ground and be yourself, who you are as a Puerto Rican. Then if I wanted to excel in music, that means that I had to know where I was coming from and the music and all that was behind the culture. And I started seeking in New York, right here in New York, you know, people who embraced this music. And I was lucky enough to find the elders, to find elders that basically opened the doors and opened their arms to me.
That was
And
something
in
that was, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, it's okay.
That was actually something that I wanted to ask you. What was the reaction or when you were playing here in New York, did people embrace it? Because was Bomba en Plena known here in New York?
Well, yes, indeed. But basically, it wasn't as often as practiced as it should have been, and that was my particular concern. But for the elders, they took it as as it went, because basically, this music and this I would say the performance and embracing this music always has come with a stigma, unfortunately. It was discriminated, you know. So people were very careful to, you know, to practice this music. Not only here in the United States or in New York, in Puerto Rico, it happened, you know.
Why was it
So,
discriminated?
well, because basically it comes from the workers, from people who were poor and basically That's, as a key form of expression, always, like, poor people, people of color were discriminated, and their expression, whatever they did, it was looked, very defensively, unfortunately. But what it is, it carries a lot of weight, a lot of a profound sense of culture, of history. And that's what new generations of Puerto Ricans, younger generations have seen, has discovered. And after so many years, after so many generations, we see a lot of the young generations of Puerto Ricans embracing this music with so much pride. And they not only have embraced it, but they have gone back to study the music, to document, to investigate, and to find so a lot of history that we did not know at the time, But I was lucky enough, again, to find elders that came from this expression, that were basically coming from the barrios or from our families and from communities who practice these expressions. In New York, I was lucky to find these people who embraced me. And that's what gave me a real sense of belonging, to pursue and to do something on my part, because they had done it. And that was good enough for me. What they let me in within their circle. And then it was my turn to do something about that. So I created an organized group, which then it was called Los Pleneros de la Batuna. From that group, then as we saw how many people got attracted and got excited about what we were doing, because it was the real thing. I was part of these people, these elders who practiced this music from since they were born and from generations. So I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to be part of this circle. So people got very excited about what we were doing, and we noticed that. And then I started pursuing other opportunities for the group. And that's how we started playing in colleges, community colleges, city colleges, even beyond New York. But then we started creating programs. And after 47 years, yes, 47 years, we have done countless of programs. We have influenced countless of people into this music and other generations. And I think I have to feel very a lot of satisfaction about that. And not only in New York and the United States, but also back in Puerto Rico, that we have been able to exchange all this. It's like a network, of people who practice this music. It's like a big community of artists, of musicians, of other people who support this music, what we call the traditional music of Puerto Rico. But again, why it wasn't known as it should have been known and embraced by other people. Well, it's not people's fault, because it comes from that beginning of being discriminated. And then, let's say, those musicians who aspire for more, they went to that music who was commercially attractive. And that's the son cubano. And that's why, let's say in New York, you see a lot of Puerto Ricans being into that circuit of commercial music founded in the son cubano or Cuban music and other Latin American music that was commercially attractive and viable, in New York. And not particularly traditional music, but they were clear about who were they, and basically we have to give a lot of credits to that generation of practitioners and musicians who kept this alive in their own way, not maybe playing it in clubs as it should have been, but they created with they kept it within their own families and communities, and that's why we're here today.
But Plena, it basically tells the history, or talks about the current events. From my understanding, at Puerto Ricans, we tend to be very proud people. You know, we're very proud of our culture. We're proud of where we came from. It doesn't matter if we're poor, if we're rich, lo que sea. We're very proud of what we have been able to accomplish. So I would think that something like Plena would be embraced because you're telling the history of the people. You're telling the stories. Like, for example, there's a political Plena. I think it's called Isla Nena.
Okay.
It's a song about the U.S. military's occupation of Vieques in Puerto Rico. So yeah. I would think because of that, something like Plena would be so important.
Indeed, indeed, of course. And but that's upon, you know, the practitioner to engage into that particular direction, you know. Because we understand that as a musician, for example, myself, I decided many, many years ago that my expression, you know, whatever I would do, and this is not basically, it's not premeditated. It just comes natural to me. When I have an inspiration, then it will fall naturally into a genre of plena or bomba, whatever I do. You know, but let me give you a very simple example. What you said that, you know, people being attracted are so important about the context of the song, what it means, this conveyor of history or news. But let's say in the Puerto Rican National Parade, what is the most famous song, a most popular song that you hear all the time?
Wow, you're really putting me on the spot right now.
Yeah, or about the flag?
Que bonita bandera.
Yeah, there you go. That's a plena. This is the great Ramito who wrote and composed and recorded this song. It's a plena. Que bonita bandera. Everybody connects with that song, because it talks about the pride, your pride, the pride about your flag, about your identity or who you are. And that's what La Plena embraces. That's what La Bomba embraces.
Where did the name Los Pleneros de la 21 come from?
Pleneros are those practitioners of La Plena. That's where the names come from. La 21 is a barrio back in Santurce, which was, which still is a municipality of San Juan, who a lot of renowned practitioners of plena and bomba settle and live in Puerto Rico, in Santurce, La Parada 21. The group is called Los Pleneros de la 21 because some of those elders were coming from La 21, and they migrated to New York, and they involved themselves, you know, and then, you know, they just practiced this music. And that's when I came, you know, I had the opportunity not only to meet them, to learn from them, and eventually to form the group. We have performed the music all over the world, but also we have created programs, educational programs, where we teach kids about the culture, about these styles of music. Not only teaching, it's about educating the kid and embracing them with the dynamics of who we are as Puerto Ricans. And you see this group basically singing songs or dancing, but outside what happens? Well, people are just having a good time talking and selling bacalaitos, and selling alcapurrias sometimes, and all these panadillas and all things that enforce that dynamic as a community, as family.
This is not just something Puerto Ricans listen to or take part in. It's a Caribbean thing, correct? Like Cuba, Dominican Republic.
That's true, yeah. And I would say every nation, every island has its own culture, very similar, but yet different from one another. but you will see a lot of similarities. It's the same. I always compare, the music with food. Because let's say un arroz guisado de habichuela is un arroz moro con habichuela. Dominican stir rice with beans or Cuban stir rice with beans is different, yet similar to Puerto Rican stir rice with beans. It has its own thing. All of them are delicious, but they have their own identity of where it comes from. And that history evolving, make it itself being from a particular place.
Why do you think a new generation has taken up bomba en plena and decided to help pass that along?
Well, I think it has to do, this is like a ladder, I would say. We were influenced by the elders. Now I am an elder, and I have influenced other younger generations into noticing and getting interested and eventually embracing. You don't have to basically, I would say, practice the music, but also celebrate the music and identify with it. And that's the beauty of everything we do, because this is like a network. It gets support, it gets relevance, not only by those artists or musicians or dancers who perform it, but also those other individuals who support it in one way or another. You are supporting the music by giving us the opportunity to, to channel this, to talk about the history and what we're doing here in New York, through 1010 Winds. But then there are the, let's say, the scholars. They write about the history in books, and they produce articles, and then so many people, and the common listener, the common, I would say, audience, basically comes and enjoy. And that's the important part of enjoying and getting connected, getting feeling that connection. And I think the young generation has noticed that, because of, of everything that has evolved. Now it's a lot easier to know about what's happened. Before, if I wanted to find out about certain information, I would have to go to a library or ask the elders, and spending a lot of time, which was great. Now they just Google it and they find it. And that's very important in the dissemination of what's been happening. Now you have hundreds of groups all over the United States, not only Puerto Ricans, but other people who have been who have felt the connection, because it's a matter of community. It's embracing a community of players or people who feels something about certain music or certain subject, and they feel attached as a group. And that's what is the beauty of all this. It's human nature.
That sounds amazing. Before we wrap up this interview, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I would say that basically, as you know, since March, we have been in pause here in New York and in most parts of United States. First of all, I my strong feelings for those who keep themselves healthy, and also que se cuiden mucho, ¿verdad? De que protejan a su familia y desde acá de los pleneros de la ventana, we will stay relevant, although we might not be doing in-person programs for the immediate future. I would say we are doing online programming, And this fall, we started with a new series of online programming. Just log in to Los Pleneros de la 21 on Facebook. Just put Bomba or Plena. You will most likely find something about Los Pleneros de la 21. And we will appreciate that a lot. And then we can keep engaging into this community feeling of who we are as Puerto Ricans, as Latinos, as New Yorkers, you know.
If there was one word to describe bomba en plena, what would that word be?
Orgullo.
That's the perfect word to describe it.
Orgullo in English, pride. I'm so proud of have had, you know, of have the opportunity of doing this for, you know, for the present moment, and to be able, I would say, to have the opportunity to influence positively other younger generations about the history, the and the celebration of Bomba Plena as Puerto Rican expressions. Tanya, I really appreciate it.
I greatly appreciate you taking the time to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.